was down like this.
Nation of Israel. What do we know about Israel in the Old Testament? Absolutely. How did they respond to that? How did they respond to the choosing of God of them? Does it sound familiar? They were obedient, then disobedient, then obedient, then disobedient. Sounds like they have a very short memory in regards to what God has done for them. We're going to look at a few things today in regards to how God reveals himself, his righteousness in dealing with the nation of Israel, in dealing how he reveals himself and his righteousness by instructing men in his word. We all have Bibles, right? I was asked earlier if we were going to need it today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have it on your lap, you want to grab it because we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture that relates to how God does what he does. We're talking about his righteousness in a variety of different settings with the nation of Israel, with how he fulfills his promises. If we get to it, how his righteousness reveals the way he rules. What do we know about God? What do we know about him? He's consistent, okay? That he doesn't waver. He doesn't go back and say, I made a mistake. I should have done it this way. From the very beginning, from the very point in time he said, let there be light, he has made no error. I can't say that about any of you in this room or myself. We think a certain way, and it's flawed. And it's only by God's grace that we have any hope of realizing anything different. Now, in light of that, think about all of those people wandering out there who have no clue. And you have to understand, you have to understand that this is why the world is the way it is. We are a remnant. God's chosen people. Just like it was before the advent of Christ. And watching God work in the lives of men and women. Okay? There's more than a similarity here. When God allowed men to choose to obey or not to obey, and let me finish my thought before you go, what? Because you're going to. There is such similarity between the way men either obeyed or disobeyed, reacted to what God had spoken to them, much like it is today. Only today, the covenant made was not reliant upon men and God, men to be obedient to what God had said, but because we were incapable, as our pastor has taught recently, because we were incapable of keeping that covenant, he had to come down and care for it himself. So that today, we rest in what he has done. Unlike our forefathers from Abraham, forward, did. Let's look to the Word. There we are. The righteousness of God and the nation of Israel. God's righteousness was to be seen in in his every dealing with the nation of Israel. Let's look to 2 Samuel 12, 6 and 7. Now, when you're there, just kind of look up and say, I'm there, and you can read. It is 2 Samuel 12, 6 and 7. Okay, where are you at? 12, 6 and 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay, I made a mistake on, yeah, that's not what I'm looking at. I made a mistake on the reference, so bear with me. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord God who appointed Moses and brought your fathers up from Egypt. So now take your stand, that I may plead before you, the Lord, concerning the righteous acts of the Lord, in which he did for your forefathers. That's 2 Samuel. I thought I wrote it down correctly. Bear with me. It is. Yeah. Okay, I got the one and the two. Because that doesn't flow with what we were doing. 2 Samuel 12. My fault.
Yeah,
it is?
Yes,
well, then I'll make a call.
Yeah.
I'll make a call. 12, 6, and 7. Here we go. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses. It is the Lord who appointed Moses. Keep that in your mind. And Aaron. So it's his fault, right? It's the Lord's fault, okay? Because you can go there, but it's not correct. And Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from Egypt. Now take your stand, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning the righteous acts which he did for your fathers. Samuel was a prophet, correct? It's a shame when we have to have others plead for us. People who have seen what the Lord can do. We can go around this room and you can tell of what God has done for you in your life. And it affects you. I hope you remember what God has done. It's when we forget. We let things cloud our memory. The worst thing I could have would be Alzheimer's, not being able to recognize, not being able to know. That is probably one of my greatest, if I have fears like that, that's one of them. And they've done a lot of work, okay? So my memory doesn't seem to be the same as it used to be, which I'm understanding is the case for most of us here. So it's a great comfort to me that you all struggle with this. So God's righteousness in his dealings with the nation of Israel has various manifestations. Now we have nine here. We'll not get through all of them, but I want you to remember this righteous God who is dealing with his chosen people, okay? God reveals his righteousness by revealing his will and his word through the world, to the world, through the nation of Israel. Who are you that you believe in someone who lived 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. And the words that they spoke that we read today, we believe have consequence. We believe are important. How can that be? Had it not been for what Jesus Christ did, grafting us into this commonwealth of Israel, an offshoot, as it were, but equal partakers. In the New Testament, we see this manifested. We see God's plan bringing and offering the entirety of what he has to people like us. Because in this day, everyone outside the nation of Israel was an outcast, pagans at best. They were God's chosen people, singular. And now we are able to enjoy all the benefits that they had as a chosen people because of what Christ has done. Yes? Yes, now. Before, we were pagans at best. When we start looking at God and the promised land and what he showed to Abraham and what he purposed for his people, it doesn't offer anything for those outside the fold. It offers nothing. It's the nation of Israel that God is concerned about here, both their obedience and their disobedience. And we'll see some of God's grace as we pass through here. So he reveals his righteousness by revealing his will and his word to the world and to the world through the nation of Israel. If that is the case, and that's what we believe, I am so grateful, regardless of political affiliation, that we stand by the nation of Israel. Because we see that those who don't, and it's just this past year and a half, we've seen nation after nation fall internally. And this little stretch of ground in the middle of all of this still stands. Still is, preserved by God Almighty. And these are the people, his chosen, that although there may be a remnant, still look to the first five books of the Old Testament as their Bible, as their guide, as it were, and negate the Son of God who came and died on their behalf. So if the nation of Israel is erring, it's erring in regards to the rejection that they have made. And still, we support them because we know that those who support Israel, and support may be not a strong enough word, that those who align themselves with Israel are blessed. Look at our nation. We just got through celebrating 224 years, I think, something like that. Do you think for a moment in time that the founding fathers of this nation said, let's all get together and let's determine that we're going to put together a nation. And we're gonna take suggestions from everyone here. It's not the way it started. If you read, all you have to do is read the Constitution. If you read the Constitution, they had a faith in God that has kept us this long. Now, how long he will let us dwell as a nation is only in his power. But I know that he won't suffer with us forever. The way this nation is going, we are the remnant. Us, those who believe and put their trust in this God, we are the remnant. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I hope this one is right, chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. And we're talking about God revealing his righteousness by revealing his will and his word to the world through the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 5 through 8. You there? Go.
Look, I now teach you these precepts, decrees, and regulations just as before my God commanded me, so that you may obey them in the land that you are about to enter and look upon. Obey them completely, and you will disobey your wisdom. Among the surrounding nations. When they hear these decrees, they will exclaim, how wise and prudent are the people of this great nation. For that great nation was a God near.
That's okay.
For what great nation has God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to whenever we call on him?
That's okay.
And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as the body of the instructions that I am giving to you today?
Okay. This is Deuteronomy is the second law giving. You know what happened on the first one? The law was brought down from Mount Sinai to the people that were waiting for it. 40 days. Moses was on the mount. All right? And when he went down to the people, what happened? They, how much? Oh, they had just, talk about short memories, they had just been ransomed, okay? And I use the word strongly. They had just been ransomed from Egypt. They were let go, okay? I'm not talking 16 years later, I'm talking 40 days. Can you keep a commitment for 40 days? Wait for me. 40 days. And the people were rabble-rousers. They were building. Aaron! Of all people, Aaron. We give him a bad rap. But the peer pressure that Aaron was under, really not an excuse, because he walked with Moses. He understood what his responsibilities were. And in fact, you want to talk about mercy? The Levitical priesthood came from Aaron. Okay? When you stop and think about the history that we can look back on and enjoy today in regards to how God works, his mercy, his plan, it never ceases to amaze me. He says to the people, Moses, see, I have taught you statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land you are entering to possess it. Take it. You're supposed to take it. So keep them, for it is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that is that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Sounds like the same thing that was said in the New Testament. We can boldly go before the throne of grace. If God doesn't change, and we believe he does not, this is evidence of that. Oh, what a great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous, as right, as the whole law which I am setting before you today. God deals with men on the basis of what he has revealed to them. He often tells men what he will do in advance of the event, so they will know God is God, and he has accomplished what he promised. Isaiah 45, would someone look there? Isaiah 45, verse 21. Anyone there? Yes.
Tell and bring forth your cause, yet let take counsel together. Let us declare this from ancient times, who has told me from the time. Have I asked the Lord, and there is no other Lord besides me, a just God and a Savior, there is none besides me.
Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced from old? Who has long since declared it? These are rhetorical questions. These are questions we know the answer to. And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and Savior. Did the people need saving? Yeah. We're going to see some of that as we go forward. There is none except me. This is a declaration from our God of his righteousness. What God has not revealed does not need to be known. Let's ruminate on that a minute. What God has not revealed doesn't need to be known. That sits well with all of you, right? And why do we struggle so much with being able to spend a little bit of time each day in his word? Just understanding what he has revealed. What do we know about our God? He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. All-knowing. Yet we consider that we should be doing things our own way. He laid forth his statutes. Is that you? Who's that? Oh, nah, I'm not going to say who it is. Anyway. Yes. Where did I leave off? Oh. Yeah. What God has not revealed does not need to be known. All that is necessary. This is in 2 Peter 1, verse 4. All that is necessary for life and godliness has been revealed to us. 2 Peter. Cindy, what reference is that? 2 Peter 1:4? 1:4. So that we are fully equipped Let's look up, because we need to be reminded that this is the same God we're reading about from old times to his advent today and what he's going to show us tomorrow. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy, excuse me. 3:14. Tim. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:14. Yes. 3:14. You're there? Yeah. Go ahead. Paul writing to Timothy, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of." That's us, I hope. "Knowing from whom you have learned them, and from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which were able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." We memorize this, right? In Awana? Okay. Is this the memory thing going on? Is that what the deal is? We're getting old and our minds are failing? All scripture, not some scripture, all scripture, which includes the part where God said, "Let there be light," to where he ends all things in the book of Revelation. That's what's been revealed to us. We're accountable for that. We're not accountable for the things we don't know, or haven't been revealed, I should say, but that which has been revealed. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable. We're all on the same page. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. What are we talking about? We're talking about the righteousness of God. So that the man, woman, child of God may be adequate. Adequate? I'm sorry? Equipped. I like that word better. I do. That may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Not some good works, but every good work. We could probably spend another week or two just looking at this passage. God has done this for us, that we might be equipped for everything that comes our way. Now, if you're not reading it, you should be. This is a time we get to ask questions. This is a time to get our theology straight. This is a time, for me, to remind myself that this is how God designed this time. I need training. I need correction. I need reproof so that I can be thoroughly equipped. So do you. There is none in here that knows everything fully. I know that we think sometimes we do. But there is no one here, and I'm not talking about your position, I'm talking about that walk you walk, that time of sanctification where you're trained by God, the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk differently from those who don't know. Fully equipped. God reveals his righteousness by instructing men in his word. In Psalm 25:8, the word says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way." Psalm 25:8. I'm going to leave you with a couple of different passages of scripture. Often this instruction came through the Levitical priests. In Leviticus, we see Leviticus 10:11. In Deuteronomy 24:8, and I'll repeat these. In Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, verse 9. Or through the prophets, like Moses, in Deuteronomy 4. 1, the entirety of chapter 5, and the entirety of chapter 14. God reveals his righteousness through the written word, through instruction, through the prophets of old. And we have all of it at our disposal. It's written. It's done. Nothing can be added to it. I think that was part of a sermon last week. We cannot add anything to it. We cannot take anything from it. It's complete as much as we could possibly fathom. If you're following along, next week is God revealing his righteousness by fulfilling his promises. That should be an easy one. How many of us have been blessed to be the recipient of his promises? Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for this time to remember all you have done. That you're not like a man who thinks like a man, but you are righteous and holy and just in all you do. As we walk this week, even this day, Father, I pray that you would direct our hearts to remember the things we've talked about, the things you've asked us to consider. As we walk, I pray that we look at people differently, that they see something in us that is unique, and that would be you. We just praise you, Father, and thank you for what you've done, for the examples of faithfulness and disobedience that you've shown, for the example of your son who purged sin that we might have glory with you. Help us to remember these things as we get caught up in the day-to-day. For these things are eternal. We give you all praise, honor, and glory for all you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.